Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Oh, I know you guys can do a little bit better than that. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
All right, I feel like I'm in church now. All right. As Pastor Dave said, my name is Brenton Lopez, and I'm one of your youth interns here serving from Gammon Theological Seminary along with Paul McReynolds. And it has certainly been a privilege and a plum-pleasing pleasure to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning. As you saw the sermon bumper video, which I so graciously learned from our senior pastor here, Reverend Dave, you see the title of my sermon is simply called The Power of Love. And the first scripture comes from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and it reads thusly. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. The second scripture comes from Matthew 5 and 8, and it reads, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Church family, the title of my sermon again is simply called The Power of Love. Do me a favor, please turn to your neighbor on your right and your left and say, I love you. Oh, yeah, I love you. Yeah. Now take your big arms and reach them out wide. Take your arms and reach them out wide. And then wrap them around yourself. And say, self. Oh, self. I love you, self. Oh, that felt so good. Let's do it one more time. Say, self. Oh, self. I love you, self. Give yourselves a round of applause. Good job. Let us pray. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, to the God who has brought us thus far along the way. Lord God, we thank you today. I ask that you speak through my heart right now. God, allow me to shut up and you to speak up. God, allow me to sit down while your presence stands up in this place, O Lord, this morning. God, I invite your Holy Spirit right now. Fall fresh upon each and every one of us. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Somebody say amen this morning.
Amen.
Now, I got to tell you, I just completed a tough semester. As you know, I'm in seminary. And I got to tell you, I took a lot of tests this semester. You know, it was tough. Some of the tests were sweet and easy as sweet potato pie. And some of the tests were, well, they were a bit hard. They were hard as a rock, some would say. And so me being a gentleman and a scholar, you know, there were times when my professor, I would come into class and I would have to take a pop quiz and it was unexpected. I would go into class and put everything away, put all your books, your pencils, your laptops, computers, etc. There's a pop quiz this morning. Well, I got to tell you, me being a scholar and a gentleman, I'm going to give you a pop quiz this morning. But the thing about this pop quiz I'm going to give you is that it's really, really easy because unlike when you're in school and you're taking a pop quiz, you don't know the answers, you may or may not know. It really tests whether or not you've been studying all year. But I got to tell you, this pop quiz is going to be a little bit easy this morning because It has to do with the title of the sermon, which is simply the power of what?
Love.
Amen. All right. And so, are we ready? All right, let's do it. Well, question number one. In 1987, LL Cool J sang a famous song. Some of your kids know him. Our youth know him. Sang a famous song called I Need What?
Love.
Good job. Jesus called each and every one of us to do what to one another?
Love.
Good job. In the early 70s, and, you know, I was a bit younger then. I mean, I was a lot younger. But there was a favorite TV show called The Love, well, I just said it, The Boats. The Love Boat. Dave's got some superstar in the house, some superstars in the house this morning. This holiday comes, but once a year it comes on February 14th, and it represents what?
Love.
When someone is going through a really tough time, you say, you call them over here, you say, come over here, let me give you a big
love.
Which represents what?
Love.
And last but not least, when a man wants to propose his dying love to his woman, he gets down on one knee and does what? Proposes, confesses his what?
Love.
Give yourselves a round of applause. Good job. And so if you haven't figured it out yet, the title of the sermon this morning is simply called The Power of Love. Let's look at this context. The book of Corinthians is known as one of Pauline letters. Now, Paul wrote this letter to correct what he saw as the erroneous views in the Corinthian church. You see, several sources informed Paul of conflicts which was happening at the church of Corinth. A letter from the Corinthians, the household of Cholo, and finally Stephanus and his two friends had visited Paul. Paul had a lot of issues with the church at Corinth. Paul had heard reports that there was quarreling among them, and some followers said, I follow Paul. Some said, I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. And this really disturbed Paul because Paul said the body of Christ is not one of division. Somebody say division. Somebody say division. The church is not one of division as would be anybody, since a house that is divided will not stand against itself. That house will surely not be able to stand. And so Paul wrote this letter because the church at Corinth was corrupted with jealousy, envy, hate, boastfulness. So Paul said that this is not what the church represents. No, the church is about love. The church is about what?
Love.
And so I thank God this morning for this church because this church represents love. It is a great love, a deep love, a love that is so powerful, a love that is called agape love, which is unconditional love. Somebody say unconditional. Unconditional love. That is what it means to be agape love. It means a kind of love that you love no matter what, in spite of and not because of, you just love. And so Paul says that love is patient. Oh my, but isn't it hard to be patient? And you guys looked at the video and you saw the young man standing in line behind the lady there, and she was getting her items in line. And when we think about ourselves, that, you know, you're in line at the mall or you're in line at the grocery store and you've got this person standing in front of you and they've got a whole list of coupons pulling out trying to pay for their groceries and everything. But when we look at that, we say love is patient. So we've got to be patient. So the young man, he smiled and he went on because he knew that love is patient. Love is patient. And it's hard to be patient sometimes. It's hard. It's tough with kids, dealing with ourselves, dealing with our family members. And we often ask ourselves, when we get into these jams, we say the word WJD. What would Jesus do? And many times we want to say to ourselves, well, what would Jimmy do, or what would John do, or what would I do? And sometimes our thoughts are not so nice. But we have to be more patient and focus on Jesus. Love is kind. And when I think about this word kindness, I think about this guy coming up to you. How many guys have had a homeless person come up to you and they say, can I have a dollar? And there are times that you give them this look and they look at you and you look at them and they know what you mean and they go their separate ways. But what if we were to reverse that? What if they asked for a dollar and you said, you know what? I'm not only going to give you a dollar, but here's five. Because love is kind. You know, I was at the Dunkin' Donuts the other day, and I was in line. I was getting ready to get my food items and stuff. I drove up. I placed my order. I got to the window. When I went to the window, the lady said, sir, don't worry. The person in front of you just paid for your order. I said, is that right? She said, yeah, that's right. So I gave her $15, and I said, well, let's keep the blessing going. And I paid for the next person's order because love is kind. And when we give to others, what we're doing is simply giving to ourselves. Love is kind. You know, I'm a seminarian, and I can't tell you, there are times when it's tough being a seminarian, you know, and there are times when the bills are kind of high. And there are times, because of my giving, there are times when I'll receive checks in the mail that I had no idea where it came from. There are times when I would receive a scholarship that I had applied for, forgot about it, and they wrote me and said, congratulations, you've just won this scholarship. And it's because I believe it is simply because of my kindness and my giving. And as you go out this week, I encourage you, just bless someone else. You see somebody in line, they're struggling, they're having a hard time paying for their whatever. I got that. I was in the Quick Trip the other day, and these boys came in, and they were trying to get some chips, and they didn't have enough money. I said, don't worry about it. Just put it on my tab. I got it. And what you will find, ladies and gentlemen, my church family, is that your blessings will continue to flow and overflow. They will double, triple, and quadruple in your blessings. Your blessings will come back double fold, triple fold, and quadruple fold. Amen? And so we want to be kind to one another. This is showing love. When Jesus came here, he showed us how to love one another. Somebody say amen this morning. And so this is what we must begin to do, because we know that love is not envious or jealous. You see someone driving a nice car, they've got a nice car going on there. You say, wow, that's a nice car. And sometimes we may think that we may become a little bit envious, like, why can't I drive a car like that? Or why did John get this promotion and I didn't get the promotion, or Jim, or whoever? And what we want to do is, we don't want to have an envious or jealous spirit. When we see somebody rising and going to the top, we want to smile and congratulate. As my young people will say, we don't want to hate on them, okay? So we want to love. We don't want to be jealous or envious. We want to show someone how much we care about them. We want to be happy for them. You know, when I was in Miami and I was going through tough times, my pastor would oftentimes come to me and say, Brenton, don't worry. Your day is coming. Because here's the thing that I got to tell you guys, that God isn't running out of any BMW Series 6 anytime soon. God isn't running out any Mercedes-Benz anytime soon. That house that you want, there's plenty. In fact, the people at the bank are just excited that you came in to try and get a loan. They're happy for you. God's got whatever it is that you need. God, we serve the God and worship the God of enough. In fact, we serve and worship the God of more than enough. Somebody say more than enough. We serve the God of more than enough. And so we have to be happy for one another. We have to celebrate one another. We have to love each and every one. Okay? Amen. And so, can I get the next slide, Mr. Dave? The next one. We hear Kanye's verse. Who are we? And it says that Kanye's verse is an East Metro Atlantic congregation of incredible caring people, graciously embracing the Christian faith and serving together to make a difference in our community and the world by bringing the hope of Christ, acceptance, love, peace, and forgiveness with all people. With how? What kind of people? Not some people, not one people, but all people. Yeah, that means Lottie Dottie and everybody. Yeah, that's everybody. And so I got to ask you the question this morning. You know, as we begin to look at Jesus, I got to ask you the question. You know, my mom, my grandmother, before she passed, she had a saying. She taught me how to love. And she would say to me, Brenton, a clean heart and a pure mind will see the glory of the Lord. And as I tell you today, as I look out into my church family today, I want to let you know that we have to have a clean heart. If we plan to make it out of this life and get to the next life, we've got to have a loving heart. We've got to have a giving heart. We've got to have a pure heart. We have to have a heart of what? Love. And so I got to ask you the question this morning. Who hurt you? Who cursed you out, called you names that you may have not liked? Who broke your heart? Who took something from you and tried to destroy you? Who stole from you? Who betrayed you? Are you bitter? Are you angry? Are you upset? Are you carrying a grudge? Because that pain and sorrow is only hurting you. The other person has gone on. And it's killing you. And I got to ask you the question this morning. Will you allow this pain, this hurt, to stun your growth and allow you not to use your gifts and graces that God has given you to be all that God has called you to be? No. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always preserves. Love never fails. As I close this morning, I want to share with you one thing. When I was in elementary, I used to love to play with clay. And it was really, really fun back then. I would play with the clay. And when I think about us as human beings, I think about this clay. And this clay is easily moldable. You know, you can squish it, you can mold it, you can shape it. And I think about each and every one of us when persons are going through, when someone hurts us, it's a dent. When someone causes pain, there's a dent. When someone breaks our heart, it causes a dent. When someone wrongs us in a way that they shouldn't have wronged us, there's a dent there. But then I think about this tennis ball. And this tennis ball can also represent us. As you know, it's round, it's hard. And when you bounce it on the ground, it bounces back. And so when someone hurts you, I want you to think of this tennis ball. I want you to be like the Timex watch to take a licking and keep on ticking. Yeah. I want you to be like Chevy truck, which is solid as a rock. Because love is what we're striving for, guys. Church, family, we want to love. And I believe so very strongly that love is what will grow this church and this community. As we begin to show our community love, they will come. You know, I'm thinking about that movie, Field of Dreams. And I'm thinking about that famous line that they said in the movie, if you build it, they will what? And I'm here to tell you that if you love them, they will do what? If you love them, they will do what? They will come. Last slide. Go back. The mission of the church, the United Methodist Church, is simply to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And that is our job. And that is my plea to you today, that when persons see you out there, they say, wow, they want to ask you, what church do you go to? And you proudly want to say, I go to Conyers First, because they see the love that you're sharing. They see the goodness of your heart. They see your giving. They see your love. They see your understanding. They see the Jesus inside each and every one of you and me. Give God some praise this morning.